To our Old Testament reading, which is taken from Numbers 14, and we will be reading verse 18. Numbers 18, 14, verse 18. Numbers 14, verse 18, the word of the Lord. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. The word of the Lord.
Sandy. For so wonderfully filling in at the piano this morning. Thank you, Sandy. And now it's with pleasure that I have the opportunity to turn the rest of the service over to our brother Dave McKeon.
Good morning. I was sitting back in the pew with my wife, and all of a sudden I looked up and I saw your banner here, above all virtues, put on love, which binds us together in perfect unity, from Colossians 3, verse 14. Just a bit of trivia, the reason that this passage was selected this morning was because of that verse. Jim Stewart, who I think some of you know, asked me to substitute in his teaching of an adult class on Colossians a couple of weeks ago. And he was up to chapter 2, which deals with the doctrinal parts of the Bible, which Jim Stewart can do. He's got the brain power, and he's well-read and a very, very, very smart man. So I said, well, I'm not going to try to compete with him. I'll take from chapter 3 on, which deals with the practical application of the doctrines and culminates in just that. And the title of the sermon was Perfect Unity. I had the opportunity to speak at the Waynesburg Church last week, and so I used that as a sermon. And somehow the Lord convicted me in this to keep going. And I will admit, this particular passage that we're going to be dealing with is not exactly as easy as Colossians 1 or Colossians 3. It deals with a different subject. It deals with a different occasion, different problems, and different situation entirely. So I just wanted to give you a little heads up why we're going to be dealing with this. It's not like there's something wrong here. Although I really appreciated your prayers, there is something wrong here. We have all got things wrong in our life, and we need to confess. The Old Testament lesson was taken from Numbers, which you would understand very well that God doesn't laugh at disobedience. It's not a joke. He takes it very, very seriously. And if you have time to spend more today, I would encourage you to look at that Numbers passage and see what happened when God is upset. It's not something we take lightly. Well, let's go on to the passage that we've had today in our Father's Word, taken from 2 Peter 3, 1 through 18. 2 Peter 3, 1 through 18. Before we begin, won't you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reproof and the correction and the training that is in your scripture. We thank you that it is God-breathed, that it is inerrant and infallible. Father, I'm just a very fallible man here, and I ask that you blow away any of the chaff that I might introduce to your scripture, that the pure milk and honey and the solid food that is in your scripture be allowed to flow forth from it in a way that will help and encourage this congregation in their faith and their life with you, and their love for each other. I just ask that you watch over, that you rule and overrule in everything that is said here this morning. I would be pleased, Father, to ask it in our Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Second Peter 3:1-18. I'm not sure what your past history is, but it's been my tradition to ask people to rise when we read the Lord's Word, if that would be okay. Thank you. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our father died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promises, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I so don't want to be understand. Let me give you another passage from Matthew. Matthew 16, verse 18. Nothing could ever destroy the church. It is a permanent building process that will never be crippled by some outside force, never be rendered obsolete, and never be stopped by any power, person, or plan. Period. The Lord said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Alert. Stay on alert. Watch yourselves. The times are difficult right now for Christians. I suspect that we are going to go through a period of a time of sadness for many. And as I watch our Supreme Court handle decisions that they really are not the final authority in, at times I grow weak and faint with, am I ready for this? Can I take the persecution? Will I be like these soldiers that died so valiantly to fight the evil, to maintain the liberty that I have of conscience, the ability to come and speak and to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord? Yes, these are troubled times, and they could be worse. It's not the first time that that has happened, though. If we look back through history, there are many things. Most of the time, when you look back through history, though, you will find that most countries, most civilization died from within. Not necessarily always from outside. Peter was addressing a situation in 1 Peter. You see it very easily. It's to discern what he's saying. They were suffering. They were hurting. And he came along with words of encouragement, words of help. And it's a lovely book to read. And it's very clear what his theme and what his message was. Then he sends a second letter. And if you've read, which I'm sure if you have, 2 Peter, you will find it's not quite as easy to discover the theme. Well, Peter, of all people, probably would have been the best person that could do this one. You know Peter's story. He very easily made mistakes. He opened up his mouth and was arrogant at times, and the Lord rebuked him several times. And yet here is Peter, under the control of the Holy Spirit, a very different man, dealing with a very serious situation, false teachers, false teaching within the church. It is one thing for our country, for us to sit here and say, ISIS is on the outside, they want to come in. It is another thing for us as Americans, for this country to sit and say, our own Supreme Court wants to rule over us in ways that are not in accordance with Scripture. We have to deal with these things, and there is no other way for us other than perfect unity. As God has given us and enabled us to be grateful and to be joyful and to be happy in our lives, all these things, these virtues that he's given, he encourages us to put on love. I sometimes remember the saying that one wag had, and I'm not even sure who said it. He said, you can often relate the church to Noah's Ark. The only reason that the people stayed in the ark was because it was worse outside. Sometimes we have troubles and frictions in the church. If you really took the time, as I have in the past, to make a list of all the things that confront churches, the divisions, all the things, the false teachings, everything, you would be absolutely amazed at the grace that the Lord has given us just to be here this day. There's all sorts of problems. I came across a young couple that was new Christians here a while ago, and they'd just experienced a real bump in their Christian life. And they said, I didn't know things like that went on in the church. And I said to them, well, the church victorious is out there in the cemetery. The church in trouble is right here. We have troubles, but be of great hope. And that's the message that I find in 2 Peter 3. In spite of all the situations that are here, our God has given us his promises that he will have his way, that his will be done. How important is that? I guess it really is. There are a number of ways I could probably say this better, but there are four things here that I wanted to talk to you about. Walking together instead of in tension. When we look at these passages, we see some things that come out that stand out very true. And they're sort of grouped in an area like reminders and promises, and promises that add to diligence, that make perseverance. It's a long way, but all these things are in this scripture if you read them, and you can take them to heart. So I wanted to use the little letters of hope, H-O-P-E, to help you to understand why this is important. In 2 Peter 2:13, 12 and 13, 3, I'm sorry, 12 and 13, we read, as you look forward to the day of God and speed is coming, the day will bring about destruction of the heaven and fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. What kind of people ought you to be? We see the hope really stands for what you already know. And we're to be reminded of that. That's what this Peter is doing in this passage. He's reminding people to think wholesomely, to think of the things that are good. Even when things go bad all around you, we as Christians could get caught up in that. We can get diverted to be in panic or be filled with anxiety, just like the rest of the world. Yes, I see things that potentially are bad, but no, I'm not going to let that throw me away from putting Jesus Christ in the center of my life, in the very heart of everything that comes to pass. That's what he's talking about. What you already know. Remember those things that you have learned in the past. I can fully appreciate that this church is grounded well in the scriptures. And from everything I've heard, that you are growing and maturing in your wisdom and knowledge of the Lord in the scriptures are being taught to you properly. These are the things that you hold on to. These are the things that you remember. And you not only know them, you heed them. You begin to put them into practice. It's one thing just to know things. It's another thing to put them in practice. Many of you helped me during the flood process, and I could go on about that again, but I just want to say thank you again. We're still working through all the aftermath of that, but we're making progress. The understanding that I got from the scriptures in the Sermon on the Mount, that the wise and the foolish builder, was that if you take the scriptures that you know and you put them into practice, your life will be in such a way, in such a manner, that you can handle whatever is thrown at you. You will make it through because you have grounded not only your knowledge, but your life in the practical application, in loving and putting together things in your life that will hold you through all the difficult times. So even though we approach these things with great trepidation, we heed, we know what we learned, and we're going to put them in practice. The O in hope is stand for open your eyes and listen. Have discernment. And I must tell you, I heard a lot of that this morning. It was so great to hear the prayers for the people. I don't always get that when I go around. I've been doing this for over 30 years, doing pulpit supply work, mostly in places where people can't get anybody else. I really don't have a prescribed ministry. It's just I get calls and say, help, you know, on a Friday night, can you come Monday or Sunday and do a service because so-and-so's sick, so-and-so's away. And I dragged my family along for many years, and it's been a great experience. But almost every time that I come, the center of what we must do, what I must listen for, is Jesus Christ in the center of this church? And when I try to do that, I can tell you how many times I've come back and people have said, it could have been the worst sermon that I ever preached in my life. Thank you. We needed to hear Jesus Christ. It was like a breath of fresh air when we hear Christ and Christ in the center of our church. We get deluded by the world. We get pulled this way and that way by false teachings. Now, let me be very careful here. I'm going to share at the end a little bit about this Apostle Peter. So before you throw him under the bus, don't make your judgment yet, okay? Romans 3:17 says, therefore, dear friends, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. Your position in Christ is secure, and yet all around us we see lawless men pulling us this way and that way. I don't know about you, but I can't wake up in the morning anymore and turn on the television and listen to Mr. Huge or 15 other commercials that are based on lies and stuff. I'm so tired of advertisements that try to suck me into buying some. You can't even turn on the news and listen to the news without at least 25 advertisements, you know. And I get tired of it. I really do. It's like, oh, come on, turn it off. I don't even want to care anymore. I'm pulled this way. I'm pulled that way. You're not good unless you own this or
some little Geico kid comes around and makes some cute remarks, and you're supposed to go, oh, I'm going to run out and buy that. No, I'm a curmudgeon when it comes to buying things. I really am tight. Maybe it's my Scotch-Irish background, but I'm tight with money. And these things get me. I run a business. I have a business which has been operating since 1911, a carpet business in Pattersonville. I'm a small businessman, and I look back over the last 57 years that I personally have been there, and I'm sick at what I see going on in business today. The lies, the things that are just not right that are going on, and sometimes I really get overwhelmed by it. That's another story. I won't carry that too far. Let me go on to the P in hope. Pursue a godly life. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, the scripture says there. These distractions dull the edge. Diligence, perseverance keeps you sharp. You need to be sharp these days. You really do. There are times of such deception that it is just not allowed for you to go to sleep in the job this time. Being a Christian and staying sharp is extremely important. There's just no... I'm a volunteer fireman for Pattersonville. I've been there for 52 years. I've been an EMT for over 30 years. And Tom, I share with you the concern I have for Schenectady Christian School. I was at that scene that night when Carly fell off the mountain. In fact, that's actually the fourth scene. I've witnessed two hangings and one other death that was very unpleasant. And then Carly. And I got to spend some time with her parents there, and it brought me back to some things that had happened in my life. I can't think of a more hardship or a hard time for a parent to go through than what they went through. I said to my wife, I said, I've got to have closure on this one. I'm getting overwhelmed with sadness. The other three that I had been to, there was no mention of Christ. There was no encouragement that I could walk away with and say, that's closed. This one there was. I was so comforted when I heard that she belonged to Lord Jesus Christ, that he was her Savior. I can't tell you as a volunteer how important that is to know and how that can settle the arrangements. And when we went there, and I told their parents, I put a little sign on my jacket. I said, I'm the blanket man. I bought her a blanket when they were waiting to bring her out from the fall, and she ripped off the tag and she says, I'm going to keep that, because all I said to her was that I was comforted by Jesus Christ, and she needed that. You need that. All of us need that. Schenectady Christian School, I got a chance to speak to several of the groups at the Baptist Retirement Center afterward and remind them of the fact that they are in a secure position in Jesus Christ. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know who is going to be here, who's going to go. We live in a very dangerous world, and yet we are secure in Christ. What a blessing in times of trouble that can be. We have to pursue these. Diligence is the key word. Godliness, character are something that we must pursue and develop. I'm not sure how you feel, but I've certainly found that in times of trouble and tribulations, in those dark and deep moments that we sometimes have in life, are when I grow the greatest. Those are the times that I lean completely on the Lord Jesus Christ, because I don't have answers for parents like that. I don't have answers for situations that are difficult sometimes. And all I can do is say, Lord, help me. And those are the times when we grow. So we're not to be completely afraid of these situations, even when they come within our church. They are not to be something that we are overwhelmed with. We can grow in grace, in the knowledge of the way the Lord wants us to handle these things. Our character can be built up. Our people can understand forgiveness better. That's what it really is about. God has provided for us in Jesus Christ the forgiveness of all of our sins. The penalty of sin was taken upon him, and that he died and he rose again so that we might live and have the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And he lives physically. He's in heaven. And you are his body here in the church. You are his means physically and everything else to be the church, to become the salt and the light that this world needs in a darkness that is developing evermore. Don't be afraid. Be diligent, grow, expect the last one. Expect Jesus Christ's return, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and an earth, the home of righteousness. You have to hold this in balance because he may not come today. I would love it, but he may not. We may have to go through a period of struggle and trials. We may have to be very uncomfortable for a while. We may have to have sacrifices and who knows what else could happen to us, but We know the ending. We know that there is a new heaven and a new earth coming, and that we're part of that, and we can look forward to that. Sometimes that's all we have. Sometimes we just say, wow, okay, I'm just passing through here, you know. I'm going to try to do some good while I'm here, and I would really like to be a little bit more like Jesus when I come to stand in front of him than I was back then. I really would like to grow in grace and in knowledge of him, but I just want to be with him in heaven forever. Amen? What's the conclusion? The conclusion is hope. Without it, we can't live. My younger son, Brian, some of you have met, runs a mission organization. He's been doing disaster work around the world for over 20 years now. He's been in 40 different countries and cross-cultural experiences. He is married to a Kenyan, and we have two beautiful granddaughters by him. And I could go on about that. That's another story. But Brian is, we went down to surprise him. My crazy wife back there says, hey, let's go down to see Brian in Tennessee for his birthday. He's going to be 40 this year. I says, hon, that's 2,000 miles down and back. She's got that twinkle in her eye that I think is Irish, but I'm not sure what it is. It says, we're going to go. And I, okay, let's go. So we trucked on down to Tennessee. We left on Tuesday and came back on Friday. And we met the grandkids and had a wonderful time. I have a picture that's it's going to become a classic in my family. All four of my granddaughters sitting on my wife's lap. And it was a wonderful time. I was refreshed. I did get an allergy attack. I'm about halfway through with it, so I hope I make it through this. But Brian and I were talking, and I was starting and complaining about the business and the taxes in New York. And, you know, my health is... You know, I'm 70 now. My goodness, how did I ever get to be 70? And I'm complaining. And all of a sudden, I noticed my son is sort of looking back at me like, yeah, yeah. I think he gets that from his mother. She's very good at that. She can just, you know, yep, okay, yep, right. And all of a sudden, I went, Brian, wait a minute. You just got back from Africa, didn't you? You were there about 3 weeks. And yep. Mm-mm. He said, Dad, in Africa, you don't see that hope. It's not there. Very rare that you see hope in Africa. The rich people in Africa, most of them have gotten it through graft and corruption, grabbing lands, leasing it out to other people, keeping the poor poor. Young people can't really get ahead there, no matter how hard they work. And he said, Dad, most of the hardworking people I saw were very poor people in Africa. And I'm sitting there, well, then I sound kind of foolish, don't I, Brian? Moaning about my problems when there are others around that are suffering and hurting a lot worse. Well, he was very kind to me and condescending, I think, but we think sometimes all about us instead of about other people. Become more active. Expect more learn more, grow, be active in the world, be that salt and light. Diligently put these things into practice. Stay on alert. And by the power of his presence in our lives, we can make a difference here and all around the world. That's my message. That's Peter's message. Peter was a very unusual person, and I wanted to talk more, but I don't think I have the time. Peter made big mistakes throughout all of his life, and he was, as I said, put down. But he left a priceless legacy, and you have a legacy too. Peter was able to be used by the Lord. Under the control of the Holy Spirit, he became the most active man in creating and helping and sustaining the infant church. He carried with him a compassion and an empathy that he could deal with even sensitive issues like troubles in the church. Why? Because he had been bad. He had seen the grace and the mercy of God in his life, and he was able to deal with these things as a spiritual man should, gently and encouragingly helping people who are got wrong theology, who are doing bad teaching, to be restored and renewed in Christ. That's what it's about. Use these hard situations to be repent, and to repentance is something of the mind, the heart, and the will. And when that occurs, there's new life. There's encouragement. We learn. We grow. That's what Peter was able to do because of who he was and what God could use. Some of you are going to be used in such mighty ways, especially you young people. Believe me, there is. We sit in a beautiful building with beautiful windows, and I love it, but there is nothing more beautiful than a spirit-filled Christian. There really isn't. Take this word into your life. Hold it dearly. Grow in that grace. Become that temple of God that he intended you to be. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word and the encouragement. I ask that you just bring forth what is good to these people. Give them the blessings that you want, Father. Help them to know the forgiveness and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that binds us together. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.